Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. It's the last podcast.
What day is it?
Of 2017.
What day is it today?
We are recording on Friday, December 29th. And this is going to be posted on Saturday, December 30th. It's our last podcast of the year.
That's right. Sunday's the 31st.
That's right.
Okay, tomorrow.
It is episode 300 since we started working with Psych Reg in, I think it was February of this year.
But we did podcasts before that.
Right.
How many have we done altogether?
We have a total of about 516. I think this is number 517.
You know, when I tell every once in a while, I say, well, we do these podcasts. We do a podcast each morning. And they say, every day? You do one every day? You know, people are shocked when they hear that we do a podcast every day.
And when people say that to me, I always feel like I have to qualify. Well, 6 days a week. We don't do it 7 days a week.
Right.
On the seventh day, we have our column that comes out in the newspaper.
Our regular work day.
Right. So, okay. But it is the last day of the year, and you know we're wrapping up the year, we've been talking about resolutions all week, and we're gonna. I thought what would be fun today would be for us to go through this article from the New York Times from this year. This is a great article, long article, detailed. And it's written by Jen Miller, and
it's an easy one to say. I saw that this morning. Then when I looked at it again, I said, Bernie will like this.
That's right, because we're going to end the year with an easy author's name to pronounce.
This article is really a contribution, though.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, it's a little disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first time I read it, I wasn't sure whether I was reading the same article or...
Yeah.
Because there's some ads
there's
that
it's all the advertising.
Right. Yeah. And they interrupt it. But stay with it. You know, just...
Yeah.
We're going to post it.
Yeah.
We post it on the web, on the website. Stay with the article to the end. And you'll know. You'll see Ms. Miller's name
and some references
at the end of it. So, mm-hmm. But stay with it till the end because it's all relative.
Right.
It's all... relevant.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, but as we go through this, what I thought would be a fun way to do this would be for us to talk about one of our resolutions.
Which we made prior to 2018.
That's right. That's right. Prior to 2018. Yeah, because it's not 2018 yet.
That's right. We started our resolution.
That's right.
In 2017.
That's right.
We decided we wanted to. We said, well, we're not going to wait until 2018.
Right.
We're going to start 2017.
Right. So we're going to kind of frame it in there. So we'll each sort of identify one of our resolutions, one of our goals for the new year. And then we'll, as we go through this, some of her recommendations, we'll talk about how it will apply to us so that listeners can then hopefully apply it to theirs.
You know, because we, in the past couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, we did how to plan and organize your resolutions.
Right.
Last week, we did a series of podcasts on how to make your resolutions, how to be more successful, how to set up your resolutions so you're more successful. And this is something you and I know about. We've studied it from a psychological perspective and from a business perspective about making and keeping resolutions. And I thought I had a pretty good understanding of it.
Yeah.
But as I applied my resolutions for 2018, I found a lot of information in this article that I was able to use to alter how I'm going to approach my resolutions.
Right.
For 2018.
Yeah.
So there really is a lot of really good information in this article.
Yeah.
I like the way she did it because she took information from psychologists, business schools, management experts. And so it's really an eclectic look at this whole process. It's a good comprehensive approach.
Right. So we're going to start out in exactly the place where you should start out, and that is to pick the right resolution.
Right.
So as I said, we'll identify one of our personal or one of our own resolutions, and we'll kind of walk through this process.
Right.
So what is your resolution?
It's funny. I was watching a movie. The TV happened to be on while I was getting ready this morning, and I was watching this movie that had Kirsten Dunst and somebody else on it, and I noticed how they gave this profile shot of each one of them. They were standing at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing behind her. And he was absolutely flat in the front. And I said, that's what I want to look like.
Yeah.
That's my resolution.
Okay.
And it was my resolution before I saw that clip. Who's the actor? Kushner, not Trump's.
Not Jared.
No.
I know who you're talking about from that 70s show.
Yeah.
Ashton Kutcher.
Anyway, and I thought, because what my resolution is I'm not a big fan of, I want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to reshape I want my body to look different.
Okay.
Okay. And what I want is I want it to be flat.
Right.
Because I read a book last year written by a physician who has written about, it's called Refuel, eating the right foods.
Yeah.
And he said, if you hold your head back, you should be able to look down, and your stomach shouldn't be in the way.
Right.
When you look down, it should be flat.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it should. So I became very aware of this as I was watching people throughout the year, and I said, this guy's got a flat stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But most Americans don't have a flat stomach.
Right.
We bulge at the middle. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want. I want to go back to a flat stomach. And I say back to a flat stomach because I used to run regularly. And when I ran all the time, I had a flat stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. I mean, most people do if you run 5 or 6 miles a day. But I had to stop running for a while because of surgery. Now I'm back. So my goal is to have this flat stomach.
Okay.
All right. And I don't know whether... So it's the right resolution for me. It's something I've thought about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my surgery. I'm back. I'm healthy. And I want to start again.
Great.
So that's what I want to do. I want a flat stomach.
All right. I wrote it down.
All right.
Reshape body. The one that I'll walk through with us is one that we have been talking about over the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And that is, I want us to create more content.
Right.
So more, continue with the podcast, but also create additional workshops and presentations and seminars and online things, books and all that good stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So my resolution is going to be to
create more content.
Yes.
Okay.
Just to continue to disseminate information. So as we look at whether or not we picked the right resolution, she recommends the SMART system, which we've talked about before.
That's right.
And so the SMART system is SMART.
Right.
So it's being specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Right.
So your resolution is pretty specific.
Right.
Especially if you narrow it down from reshape your body to a flat stomach.
Right.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah,
how would it be measurable?
Right. Because in the beginning of this article, she says there's three reasons to know that it's not the right resolution. You know, because my issue was, as I was approaching 2018, tumbling down 2017 and falling into 2018, I thought, what do I really want to accomplish in 2018?
Mm-hmm.
I made one decision
about
retiring from the university.
Yeah.
Made that decision.
You just completely glossed over that important announcement.
That was huge. For me, it's huge
because
it allows me to spend more time here and to focus my energies. But as I thought about what resolution I wanted to make, I said, what's really important to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she says there's three little messages that you're headed, that you're not selecting the right resolution.
Right.
And the first one is, if it's somebody else's.
Right.
Somebody else told you should do this.
Right.
Okay.
And too vague.
Right.
Is the second one.
And the second one is too vague, you know. And the third one is not having a realistic plan.
Right.
Okay. So I thought, okay, what about this flat stomach business?
Mm-hmm.
Do I meet those criteria?
Right.
Yeah, I did. So I met those three criteria. So if you want to start, go to those three.
Right.
And if you can answer okay to each one of them, then you're on the right track.
Right.
But then you have to make it
smart.
Then it has to meet these criteria.
Right.
Right.
So yours is pretty specific. Yours can be measured.
I don't know how to make, I don't know how to measure it. I want a flat stomach. Is it a smaller waist?
Well, it would include a smaller waist. And we could do, I say we, not that I'm going to do this for you, unless you want me to. I'm happy to help.
Well, as a matter of fact, at the end of this, she talks about a community.
Right.
Get a community together.
Yeah.
So you're going to be part of the community.
So we could measure circumference.
Girth.
So okay. So it is measurable because we can. Yeah. It is quantifiable.
That's what we have is waist size.
And it wouldn't be wise to use weight because if you are working out and you're increasing muscle mass, then that's going to potentially maintain weight even if you're losing.
And if inches, if I'm losing inches, which is my primary goal, the weight is going to go too. I'm not going to have to worry about that.
Right.
Okay.
So, but weight fluctuates so much that it's a improper measurement tool. You eat one big meal, even if it's a healthy meal, and it could increase your weight temporarily.
Well, so. I read an article years and years ago. There was a model. Her name, I think it was Verushka. Back in the 60s or 70s. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything. I know what you're thinking.
I'm not saying anything.
I know. And she wouldn't eat all week.
Right.
To maintain her weight. And then on Sunday, she would eat a filet. Mm-hmm. And she would gain like 3 or 4 pounds just eating that single meal. Mm-hmm. And then she'd have to spend the rest of the week, you know, getting rid of that. So
that's called an eating disorder.
It's a terrible thing to do to your body.
Yours is certainly achievable.
Yes.
It is something that can occur over the course of the year. Mm-hmm. It's relevant because you're going, we're walking, you're exercising, so you're exercising.
It's something
more.
I really want to do. I mean, it's really relevant to my life. It's something I really want to accomplish.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you have to create a time bound.
And that's another challenge that I'm going to have to work on as we work through this morning. Mm-hmm. And this is helpful to walk through it like this. I don't know what my schedule is going to be.
Right. Yeah. So, but as far as time, being generally time bound, we know that right now our current schedule is we're walking 3 mornings a week.
Right.
We know that within the next few weeks we're going to start some interval jogging to increase the pace and
Don't tell my mother and brother that we're going to start jogging because they disapprove. So. So don't say anything to anybody.
They're not up by in the time that we're running anyway.
No. Nobody else is either.
No.
Five people in Lake Underwake when
so,
we are.
So as far as being time bound, we do have sort of a structure to the implementation of strategies to achieve your goal. So
well we have that, but my goal is to lose
the inches. So
inches.
Right. So we'd have to consider at what pace
is that? That's right. I have to collect baseline data.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got
so that's what we are now.
Okay. So the first thing I have to do in my case, and I don't know whether your case will be this way, but in my case, I'm going to first have to determine how quickly this can happen. Right. Can you lose a quarter of an inch a month or a half inch every time? I don't know.
Right.
So in my case, we're going to have to collect baseline data to determine what my schedule should be.
Right. And what's fantastic about that, though, that point, is that even while we're collecting baseline data, you're still working towards your goal.
Working toward
we're
the goal.
We're not pausing and saying, okay, let's not work out for a couple of weeks and collect baseline data.
Right.
We're saying, okay, we're working, but let's just see where we are, what kind of pace we're at.
That's a good point. That no matter what you're going to do, go ahead and start.
Yeah.
And then you can refine your goal.
Absolutely.
Which you should be doing anyway as you go along. You should be refining it. But yeah, if you have to collect baseline data first, go ahead and start whatever you plan to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, in regards to my resolution, creating more content, certainly it's generally specific, relatively specific. We're going to write more, record more, present more. There's not a, well, when it comes to measurable, we'll talk about specific number of content related things per month, perhaps. We know how much we do the podcast. We do the podcast six mornings a week.
Right. So we'll keep that.
So we'll maintain that. And so, right now, that's we do the six podcasts a week, and we do our article in the Ledger on a weekly basis. So now we're just going to add to those.
You know, I used to do those morning musings.
Right.
Remember those? And some of those are I enjoyed doing them. We walk on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tuesday and Thursday would be the morning musings days.
Could be. You know, yeah,
that could be.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. And we have our Patreon mission going right now to hopefully be able to recruit somebody to do some of the editing and production work with the recordings so that it can create more time, because our goal is to then create some workshops and things online. We're working to get in touch with folks to do workshops and to live audiences and things like that. So, so it is certainly measurable. We can count the number of ones we do per month. It's achievable. We've done all of this before, so we know we can do it. It is absolutely relevant because this is, if anything is our passion, this kind of stuff is our passion. This is we love this stuff.
This is our life.
Yes.
This is what we do.
Right. And and time-bound. I think that, as it relates to being time-bound for this sort of professional resolution, what we would maybe decide is how many we would want to do per month. So on a month-by-month basis, you know, is there a certain number that we would like to generate and say, you know, by... it's not going to happen starting next week. We're not going to start having... workshops and stuff scheduled next week, but we could, you know, certainly by February we need to have a live audience.
Have one scheduled.
One scheduled. Okay. By the end of January we should have you know, something, another one recorded, so that we can have a web-based workshop posted and ready to go. Our book part two.
I'm not talking to you about.
Is so close. So we're finishing that. So that will be done in January. Because we are, this is one of those other things where having a little bit more time would have been fantastic. Because now it's just taking the time of getting everything final, the final edits and structure and sort of graphics and all that kind of stuff put together so that once it launches in Amazon, it's all set. And so now we're just dealing with a little bit of time to get that done. But so so we are, we're going to have stuff starting next month. We're going to have things posted. So, so yeah, I think it meets the SMART criteria.
It does,
Now, the part two that she talks about, the second thing she talks about is creating your plan.
This is where it gets...
I like plans.
But this is where it gets a little more... I've almost said technical. It's not... I don't mean technical. It becomes... I guess maybe it's because this is new to me. She talks about the cue and reward system. And I had to slow down when I got to this part because I thought, okay, well, how does mine fit into this?
I think that this fits very well if you remember, and I wanted to go back and look and see the podcast that we did on metacognitive therapy, where you have to think about your anxiety. When you're feeling anxiety, you need to think about your anxiety. What is the what is it trying to tell you? Because I think that, I relate that to the cue idea that she has here. You know, when we have bad habits, what is fueling, what is reinforcing that bad habit? So... if it's not exercising, if the bad habit is sleeping in and not going for a walk, that's just a very basic one that may be relevant to yours. If that's your bad habit, what is the cue? What is that bad habit telling you? And what it may be telling you is that you're not getting enough sleep, or that it's too cold outside, or that you don't really want to get out there and exercise. So if you listen to that cue... Now, what can we repair? What can we do to change that cue so that you gain some reward? Because certainly a positive reward related to your goal. Because certainly if the cue is, don't go outside, you're too tired, it's still dark outside, nobody else is out, what are you thinking? If that's the cue, then the reward is, I stay inside, I'm warm, I'm laying down, and I'm not... out there with Brownie.
Well, she uses the Twitter example here.
Yeah.
Okay. And she said, I check Twitter.
Okay.
I don't have Twitter.
That's true.
Don't want it. Don't have it.
Note that.
Twitterless.
He said that he doesn't want it.
I'll explain why in another podcast.
Okay.
Okay. Because I'm gonna put another podcast together about Twitter and other social media.
Okay.
But I do this with... texts. Okay. Right. So you check your text. You're always checking your text to
too
see
much.
If it, right? Okay. And the cue is I'm feeling a little isolated.
Right.
So I want to reconnect with the world.
Right.
So I go to my phone and say, well, let's see if anybody's contacted mm-hmm. me and is telling me what they had for lunch or something right. equally important. And so when I feel isolated, my general routine is I check my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when I check my cell phone, it gives me this feeling of being connected.
Right.
But
if you want to change that behavior,
right, if I want to stop checking Twitter, and I think that's the goal mm-hmm. here, okay, that I can get up and go to talk to a colleague, talk to somebody else.
Right.
I can get out of my office. Instead of having this private thing with my phone, I can get out of my office and go talk to somebody.
A live person.
Right, a live person.
Right.
So the cue, the reward in checking my cell phone for messages mm-hmm. is I feel connected to
right.
people.
Right.
Okay. But I don't want to keep checking my cell phone.
Right.
So I change the routine.
Right.
You're changing the reward?
Well, I guess the reward would be the same. The reward would be that you still feel connected, but instead of being connected through Twitter, you're connected through right. interpersonal interactions.
You remember we interviewed... Oh my gosh, I forgot his name now. He changed his routine from going home and eating chocolate
yeah.
to going to the gym.
Yeah.
He was using the cue.
Our Gaelic footballer.
Right.
I forgot his name too. Why did you do that to me? You made me forget his name.
I know, and I have it on my desktop. But he did that. He used this cue and reward system mm-hmm. very effectively because he would get home from teaching and he'd be tired.
Right.
And so he would, you know, drop down into the sofa and eat chocolate.
Right.
Okay. And that would sort of revive him. Of course, it would revive him
sure.
because of the caffeine. And so he said, but it was bad for his health. So he began to go to the gym. So the reward was the same.
Right.
It made him feel better.
Right.
But he got healthier in the right. process.
Right.
Okay.
So the way that it works for us is, well, with your goal, your bad habit for right.
right
now, perhaps mm-hmm. isn't, is feeling bad that you, when you look down, what was the example you used? That it wasn't flat.
Yeah, when you look down, you should be able to just see right to the floor. Your
right.
stomach, you shouldn't
yeah.
hit, your gaze shouldn't, it should go to the floor. It shouldn't hit your stomach.
Right. right. So the bad habit is sort of body image, maybe.
Yeah, because you stand sideways and you
yeah.
got this thing in front of you, this protrude. I mean, oh, it's nasty.
So the cue would be, you know, I feel distressed by my body image, or I feel distressed
right.
by my body shape.
Right. Yeah, the cue is you feel, yeah, bad.
Right. So the routine that many people will have in that kind of situation mm-hmm. is they get depressed or they get down on themselves and then
right.
they get sullen and then they'll, you know, revive themselves with food or with, you know, they'll eat emotionally
right.
or they'll do those mm-hmm. kinds of things. And that reward is you get those chemical releases and you feel
yeah.
better because, well, you know, I just ate a bunch of carbohydrates and it made me feel good and released some serotonin and it made me feel happy for a few minutes.
right. Had some Krispy Kreme donuts
right.
and felt good for 10 minutes.
But the way to change the behavior would be to get out and get walking.
Right.
And to do something to address the bad habit or the...
And for those of you who are taking on a resolution like the ones we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
the benefits are down the...
Yeah.
You're not going to feel good every day
right.
about all of this.
Yeah.
The payoff comes later.
Yeah.
And so you need to be mindful that the payoff is down the road somewhere.
Right.
Right. And I'm not going to get up every morning and look different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm going to look different a month from now or 2 months from now.
Right.
I'm not going to look different tomorrow morning.
Right.
But I'm going to have to get out and walk tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that the difference here from the example, because the difference would be the same with my example, is as compared to the Twitter
mm-hmm.
that she uses here, is that it's not a specific behavior that's a bad habit. It's a absence of behavior that's a bad habit.
Right.
The absence of exercising is the bad
right.
habit, or
right.
or with us, the absence of producing more, mm-hmm. creating more is the bad habit. And so the cue is sort of a negative feeling about not right. doing the things that we really want to be doing.
That's true, because when I ran every day, you just feel so good about your right. body because you can do whatever you want.
Right.
And you can run up and down stairs, and you can run here and run there and play tennis and golf. You do whatever you want to do because you're in complete control of your body.
Right.
Well, then when you stop doing that and you realize all these limitations, you know, mm-hmm. it's so hard to walk upstairs, or it's so hard to do this, or so hard to do that.
Right.
And I want to get all that back.
Right.
You know, so I know where I want to be,
right?
But getting there is going to be it's going to be a gradual process.
It will be,
and there I anticipate that there will be that I will encounter obstacles along the way, mm-hmm. because it is a gradual process,
right? And she recommends here the idea and need to make it personal,
right?
You know, the right. it's got to work for you. And see, for us, again, we joke often about walking at 4 o'clock in the
mm-hmm.
morning,
mm-hmm.
And people, what are you, that's ridiculous.
Right.
It works for us.
Right.
It fits very nicely in our schedule, and it just, that's the time that it can,
I can remember we talked about that mm-hmm. months ago. We mm-hmm. said, well, should we go to a gym, or should we do
right.
this, or do it after work, or
right.
before work? And after considering all 24 hours in the day,
yeah.
we finally settled on 4 o'clock in the morning,
right.
because that was going to, and it has.
Right.
It turns out it's been a very easy routine
yes.
to establish.
It has.
Mm-hmm.
So making it personal,
for us.
And I like the idea that you had a minute ago. So we walk on Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps on Tuesday, Thursday would be our content creation days.
That's right.
And so
get up at the same time,
right?
But spend that hour and a half doing writing instead of walking,
right?
Right.
Because that works for us.
Right.
That works
right.
because that's how we make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another one of my goals. For the year is to, and it's related to this, creating content,
mm-hmm.
is I really want to create a couple of apps.
Right.
And so, you know, my responsibility right now is I'm trying to figure out mm-hmm. time to carve out to learn how to make apps
yeah.
and then create a couple of apps.
Right.
It's got to be personal to me.
It certainly is relevant, because that's
right.
something you've been talking about for a long time.
For a long
so it
time.
Is relevant. Right.
I wish I could.
But it has to be it has to fit for you. Other, you know, you have to, is it the, when I ran, I mentioned this morning that I started to train for a triathlon.
Right.
I was always able to run, but I found swimming and biking much more difficult. It was much more difficult to establish a routine because it took so long. Running always worked for me because
right.
it was so easy.
Right.
And so that's, that became my exercise routine.
Mm-hmm.
I tried many other things. I tried going to gyms. I tried swimming. I tried bicycling. But the only thing that really worked for me was running. It was inexpensive. It was easy. I could
mm-hmm.
do it anywhere. I could do it every day. So do something that works for you.
Right.
You know, whatever you like to do, whatever you enjoy doing. You know, if you hate going to the gym, you know, if you do it,
don't make that a goal.
If you do it for 3 or 4 weeks and you still hate it, you're probably never going to enjoy it.
Right.
So find something that works for you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, the next part in this is to leap over hurdles, is what she talks about.
This is the part that I needed to go through a couple of times. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this, you know, she starts out saying no one's perfect and your quest
right.
for resolution won't be either. But you can always get back on track. Remember last this past week, we talked about how we missed a day of walking.
Oh, we did. Yeah, that's right.
That it was a week ago today that we missed,
right.
the last Friday.
That's right.
So when did we walk?
Well, we walk Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We missed Friday.
Yep.
And then we had, it came to decision time.
Because Monday, the next Monday morning was Christmas.
Because Monday was Christmas morning.
And guess what we did?
We went on a...
We went for a walk. That's right. So we got back on track.
Even on Christmas Day.
Even on Christmas Day.
It would have been very easy to say, wait a minute, it's Christmas. We shouldn't. Well, why shouldn't you?
Yeah.
The kids weren't up. Our kids sleep a little later now.
Well, but my son even went with us.
I was shocked. I was a teenager at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I asked him, I said, have you not been to bed yet?
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, are you getting up early? But he had other plans that day. He
yeah,
was going to go fishing or something.
Yeah. So yes, even if you, you know, stumble a little bit, you can get back on track. It might take a different kind of sacrifice.
Right.
It may take a different kind of approach that you have to do, mm-hmm. but you can get back on track and you can jump over those hurdles without problem.
Right. Now, if you scroll down, and I am looking right at the screen, did you read the part about the smaller number?
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. You use the smaller number. Now, in my case, what would the smaller number be? I want to, let's say I want to lose 4 inches.
Right.
Or three, you know. That's a big number.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So in my case, it would be, remember we talked about what my baseline measure mm-hmm. would be. Let's see how long it's going to take me to lose a half inch.
Right.
Or 1 inch. Yeah. Okay. And they said, focus on the smaller number.
Right.
Because the larger number, the grander goal, the larger goal is always going to be harder to achieve.
Right.
And it's going to be very discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So set a smaller number and make that be your focus.
Right.
Right. So yeah, in my case, it would be, how do I get to a half inch? That's my whole focus right now. How long is it going to take me to get to a half inch?
Right.
Then I can develop my plan. Well, so it's going to take me this long to get to an inch. This long to get to an inch and a half, this mm-hmm. long to get mm-hmm. to 2 inches.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And it works for the long-term goal as well, because if we focus on inches as opposed to pounds, you know, 4 inches of waistline may equate to...
I don't know what that will be.
10, 15, 20 pounds.
I have no idea.
But you're focusing on the 4 inches.
Right.
Focusing on 20 pounds, you know, that's the bigger number, so it's going to be a little bit more difficult because, again, it fluctuates.
But if you were going to use weight as your measure, then instead of saying, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, no, lose 1 pound.
Lose 1 pound.
Lose 2 pounds. Yeah. You know, what does it take to lose 1 or 2 pounds?
Right. Exactly. So,
so one is to get over the obstacles, focus on the smaller number.
Right.
Okay.
The next thing is to stay positive. Even when you're...
Right.
Stumbling a little bit. You got to stay positive.
Remember
the goal.
But she, there's this book, and I think I might have to get this book. It's called Rethinking, what is it?
Rethinking Positive Thinking.
Right. And she says positive thinking alone mm-hmm. isn't going to be enough.
Right.
Okay. And what she advocates here is this try to be positive but realistic. And she talks about WOOP, wish, outcome, obstacle, and plan.
Mm-hmm.
I like the obstacle one because it says, you know yourself.
Yeah.
What will stop you?
Right.
Okay. So I have to think about what will stop me. What will stop me is all those reasons not to get out of bed and not to walk.
Right.
I get up early anyway. But
right.
to get dressed and go out, especially when it's cold,
mm-hmm.
is a real obstacle for me.
Yeah.
Okay. If you quit walking,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't say, I'm headed your way, I don't know whether I would go or not.
Yeah.
What's keeping me going is I know that you expect me to be there in the morning.
Yeah.
If you quit going, I would probably quit going. I might.
Well,
I won't quit. But that's what you have to know. What are your obstacles? So
yeah.
I need to think long and hard about that, that it's going to be weather, it's going to be clothing, it's going to mm-hmm. be fatigue, it's going to be if you'd quit going. But I have to overcome those, and I have to have a plan. How will I get around these obstacles?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so... You can't just keep giving yourself positive messages. You need to have a plan about... You need to know what they are.
Right.
You need a plan to work around.
And we talked about that earlier this week with... Mm-hmm. You need to anticipate problems.
Right.
Anticipate what could go wrong mm-hmm. and then have a plan for that. So.
Right. And here's another one. I can't stick to this routine.
Right.
Right? I can't keep doing this every... Now, we are in a pretty good routine where...
But I think that that's one that people experience, especially when they're on diets, when they're trying to get healthy through some form of extreme dieting.
Right.
You can't stick to that routine. It's impossible.
I've often thought, you know, no matter what the diet is, whether it's Nutrisystem or Weight Watchers or whatever mm-hmm. it is, when you try to change your entire day's food mm-hmm. intake, that must feel like an overwhelming task.
It's got to be.
Whereas if you just say, let me just change breakfast.
Yeah.
Let me just redo breakfast right
again,
now.
The smaller number.
Right. And then if I get breakfast, then let me just do lunch.
Yeah.
Let me change my lunch routine. So that's what they're talking about here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other ones that she talks about is like getting outside pressure from other people wanting you mm-hmm. to. Like when I was doing my ketogenic diet and all of you guys kept getting tacos and you know how much I love tacos and you kept...
Did that on purpose.
There was so much outside pressure.
Made it difficult. Made it as difficult as we could.
But it's okay. Right. And then the other one is, you know, slipping up. Right. As we've talked about, you know, even if you slip up, you can get back on track and get going again.
And you might, don't worry about it if you slip up.
Right.
You know, we're human.
It's going to happen.
And we slip up and we miss a day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, just get back up, get back on schedule. Or, you know, you just, your inhibition goes out, you're tired, it's evening, and that's when your inhibition wanes.
Right.
And so you fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
Get back on.
Right.
Okay. Don't keep going down that road. Just
right.
Get back up and get back on.
And the same will go with, you know, with hurdles associated with, you know, sort of professional plans. When we think
right.
about creating more content, you know, right. there will be times, there are certainly times when we struggle to come up with ideas for the article, for
right.
our newspaper column. Right. There are times when we struggle with coming up with ideas for podcasts and things like that.
Right.
There will be times when that is really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to keep going. And so what we've done is we've created systems.
Right.
We have systems in place. There are places that we go to look for ideas,
mm-hmm.
and we look at the calendar and see
what's
coming
yeah.
up and what's going on in the world. And we use those strategies to overcome some of those hurdles.
Right.
But still, it's difficult sometimes.
Right. And she said, life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Okay? And life will get in the way. You're going to get sick. Other family members are going to need you. You have vacations.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, life is going to get in the way. Again, it shouldn't be the reason that you stop.
Right.
It may interrupt,
mm-hmm.
and it may throw you back a few days.
Right.
But it's not a sufficient reason for you to stop.
Right.
Life will happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think about that often because there are many times, like today,
right.
we're recording this on Friday, and this is the podcast that goes out tomorrow morning.
Right.
You know, what if one of us would have woke up sick this morning?
That's right. Never mind. We don't.
I would have been here. Remember that time that I did the podcast
yeah,
with the balloon?
Would you have a balloon?
I did a balloon.
Drew a face on it.
That was Dr. Marshall's stand-in
right.
that day. That
yeah.
was fantastic.
I had a sub that day.
But luckily, we don't get sick
often. Right.
Right. Because, yeah.
Because we find a community.
The fourth section, find a community.
Right.
Yes. And that, I think, is, well, let's be honest. I think that's one of the reasons why I was thinking of that, why we are doing this podcast this way, because we are making these resolutions public. You did that earlier in December with
right.
with the book section,
right.
Part two of our book. This is going to be out within this time frame. We publicized it. We put it out there. This is it. And so people are going to hold us to it.
I told you about Jackie Gleason,
mm-hmm.
the
right.
comedian. And he would get on a scale every set. He had a variety show on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
First thing he would do is get on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
The entire nation
yeah.
was watching that show. And it was a very but he made that public commitment. I believe in a public commitment.
Yeah.
It helps you become, it helps with accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I want other people to know. I
mm-hmm.
want my kids to know.
Right.
Because once you start to succeed, that community that's holding you accountable
yeah.
then becomes your cheering section. Because,
absolutely.
Man, that looks good. You look great.
Yeah.
You know, and I can come home and say to them, well, these pants that I wore before
mm-hmm.
no longer fit.
Mm-hmm.
So they become your cheering
right.
section, and they help sustain your motivation.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And the, you know, once we kind of, as we keep going with things, and I've been walking and running a little bit
mm-hmm.
longer than you have now, because of the time that you took off, there's apps and things like that
right.
I have, and as soon as we get you to that point, then I'm going to get
wait,
you
wait.
On these apps.
To what point?
Where you can do a little bit more than what you're doing now.
Technologically, you mean? Technologically speaking?
No. Walking more and those kinds
oh,
of things.
Okay.
No, the technology
I thought you were
is easy.
Drag me kicking and screaming into the 21st century or something silly like that.
Okay. No.
Good.
But we'll get these apps on your phone.
I know.
What happens is that then we can share goals. We can, and we can, you know, even if it's a day that, like, I can't make it one day and you're going to go, I can still communicate with you through the app. And through these things to say, let's go,
it's
let's get
miracle.
Going. I'm in, you know, we're in the Philippines, so let's go do...
Yeah, we'll get kidnapped.
We're going to the Philippines in August.
August.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah, I was... we may have been Christmas shopping or something. It was recent. We were out shopping, and I heard a guy say... He was with his kids, and he said, "Oh, I've already got all my steps done today."
Yeah.
He was looking at his phone. Mm-hmm. It was an app, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll get you... Well, you need to get you an Apple Watch.
No.
Mm-mm. Or a Fitbit or something.
No.
Yeah. I've got ideas for that too. We'll talk about that sometime.
I don't like Apple Watches.
But
can't see them anyway.
We can make the tech. We can put a magnifier over the top of it.
Put a little ball. half a prism over it.
Crystal ball on his wrist. Gosh. That's fantastic. So state your goal. Make your goal public. And what this does is this puts you at risk for losing something.
Right.
It puts you at risk for, you know, for lack of a better phrase, to lose your face, to be embarrassed. So it creates some stakes to it.
That's right. Some people use money.
Right.
They say, well, if I don't achieve this goal, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $50 or something. But do make it public. And I think public embarrassment or losing face or... having to admit that you failed also helps to keep you motivated.
Right.
You know, you say, well, I really don't want to get out of bed, but worse, I don't want to face my coworkers.
Right.
I don't want to tell my family that I've given up.
Yeah.
You know, so it helps with motivation. So set it up so that you stand to lose something. I think it really is important that you make this as public as you can.
Right.
Again, we said it has to be personal.
Right.
So you're not obligated to tell the entire world.
Right.
But there should be a few people who are close enough to you,
right.
You can reveal to them what your resolution is, and they can help keep you motivated.
Right, because the next two things she talks about is getting rid of bad influences.
That's right.
So getting rid of influences that pull you away from your goal.
That's right.
But then finding like-minded people,
that's
people
right.
who are going to encourage you. Like one of the apps that I use is, we are not sponsored by them in any way, but it's the Nike Fuel app.
Right.
Because it's great because... It has a way to tabulate how many calories. It has mm-hmm. some algorithm to it, but you get these Nike Fuel points.
Right.
But what it does is it compares you to yourself, so you can see how you've done compared to yourself on previous Tuesdays or previous Thursdays or whatever. But it also compares you to other people your age,
mm-hmm.
and so it tells you if you're on track, if you're ahead, if you're behind, and so you can get this reinforcement. You say, right. "Oh man, I really need to go do something." The other night, I was a little bit behind, and so I was behind what my goal was for the day.
Okay.
And so, I went out for a 30-minute walk, got me right back caught up and everything. But had I not had something like that, right. and sort of it's a like-minded resolver because it mm-hmm. even though it's an app, it keeps me on track.
Right.
And that's what we need, is we need those kinds of reinforcers.
That's right.
So finding like-minded...
Yeah, because the app actually takes the role of somebody, you know, some person. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the last part that she has on here is what happens if you miss your goal.
Yeah, right.
I think that... Well, there's two really big things that she says here. First off, if you don't make your goal, 9 times out of 10... maybe 9 times out of 10, most of the time, you're still much better off than you were before
you
started.
That's right.
All right. So one of the things because we both worked in education.
Right.
So what is the, and I bet that you will say the same number that comes to my mind. What is the percentage that they put in like IEPs and things like that? What percentage of success do we expect students to reach?
I always loved that 80%.
80%. It's always 80%. With 80% mastery, the student will do this. With 80% mastery, 80% of the time.
We are 1 point away from a C.
That's right.
No, that's all we want. We want you to get a C.
That's a B minus. That's all we got.
Right.
So, but even so, even if you're starting off at zero,
mm-hmm.
And you don't quite make your goal, you're still better off than you were before.
That's right. We're going to start with mine,
mm-hmm.
with a half inch.
Right.
I'm better off, even if I don't, whatever my ultimate goal is, I don't know what it is right now. Let's say it's 4 inches. Even if I don't get to 4.
Right.
I'm better off with a half inch.
Yeah.
You know, my metabolic screens are going to appreciate every half inch.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. So don't get discouraged if you don't make your goal.
That's right.
Because the point that she makes here is you can start fresh and start again.
People who want to quit smoking will say, oh, I only quit for 2 months.
Right.
2 months in the plus column.
That's right.
You know, so do it again. Start again.
Yep.
You know, don't be discouraged that you can't. Think of it as what you've accomplished, and you know now that you can do it. And that's
right.
The other thing.
Yeah.
You know that you can quit for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and quit for two more months.
See if you can quit for 9 weeks instead of 8 weeks.
Right. Use a smaller number.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast the other day about, it was from the People's Pharmacy, and they were talking about the book Eat Fat, Get Thin.
Right.
I still got to order that book because that sounds like a great book. Dr. Hyman talks about the way that our food pyramid is all off kilter. Mm-hmm. But what was fantastic was one of the things that he said was that he has patients who change their diet. People with diabetes and heart disease and all the high cholesterol, all this stuff, change their diet. And within a couple of days, their diabetes was almost gone.
Start to eliminate it, right?
So it doesn't take much time. Like you said, even if it's 2 weeks, if you made it 2 weeks, that's great.
Whenever you have a habit like smoking, when you think, I can't smoke for the rest of my life, that is so overwhelming. But like you say, just go for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay? You've done eight.
Yeah.
Now see if you can go to nine. You do nine and go to 10.
Exactly.
Oh, I can do it for 10 weeks? Let me shoot for 11 weeks.
Yeah.
Every week buys you something. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. So be kind to yourself.
Right.
Be appreciate how far you've come, how far you're going. You know, and appreciate the challenge that it takes to do what you're trying to do. Change is difficult.
We're all struggling. I mean, all of us are struggling with it.
Right.
I mean, whatever you choose to do, it's anytime you want to change a habit, it's going to be a tough road.
Right.
So make it easy on yourself.
Right.
That's the solution.
Exactly. And we think about the new year because this is the fresh start. The numbers on our checks change because we have to write 2018.
Right.
And we'll keep making that mistake for the first
couple
weeks.
It'll be 2017 until February.
That's right. Until the bank doesn't accept our checks enough times that we get so frustrated that we're sure about it. But make sure that you remember...
Right.
That any change is difficult. You're giving something up.
Right.
We've talked
about
that before. You're having to sacrifice something to accomplish the goal that you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
So be kind to yourself.
Right.
And appreciate it. And if you fall down, get back up and start again.
That's right. It's okay to fail.
Exactly.
Remember, we say that all the time in our practice. It's okay to fail. You're going to learn something.
Right.
Use that information and move towards success.
Absolutely.
Okay. So don't worry about failing. Just get up and do it again.
All right.
Good.
Anything else?
No. Happy New Year. Early.
Yes.
Happy New Year
to all of you listening. We really appreciate it's been a big year. We've we've done a lot. We've done a lot of podcasts this year, which has
300.
Been, well, and that's 300 just since February, so when we started with PsychReg, when we joined PsychReg.
Our friends in the United Kingdom.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We have had tremendous growth over the past year.
Yeah, we have.
We hope that our followers on and subscribers on YouTube and iTunes and all the places that you can get the podcast and everything, we hope that it continues to grow. Please share us, our links, our contact with other people who might benefit from what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, our goal is always to disseminate as much valuable information as we can. You know, we listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of workshops, and we attend a lot of those things to see what other people are doing. And our goal is to always try to be a step above or step ahead, because we think that it's through this medium that we can reach the most people to try to help and help you and help others live the best life that they can live. You know, we see patients, but you know, the most we can see is maybe 8 to 10 patients a day.
That's right.
But you know, through this podcast, we now have 240 something subscribers on YouTube alone, for example.
Right.
And we just want those numbers to grow, because the more that we can help, the better we feel.
Right. We want to grow, and we want to grow with you,
yeah,
and because of you. So please stay in touch, write reviews.
Write reviews, rate us, and make sure you're writing to us with questions. Yeah,
questions and criticisms.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't like my shirt, my color of my shirt, tell me. I'll change it.
Or the fact that you stopped wearing ties.
I did. That was a suggestion from a viewer.
Yep.
Said, hey, you know, maybe you should try this because he does videos himself mm-hmm. and knows something about it. And said, and that was one of his suggestions.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah. So. But yeah, but so we try to adjust and adapt, and we've got a few ideas from listeners about podcasts that we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks. And so, you know, if there are certain topics that you're wanting, write to us, let us know.
Sure.
I mentioned Patreon earlier, patreon.com. That is hopefully going to be one of our launch pads mm-hmm. for a lot of the work that we want to do in 2018, right. because it's going to hopefully be able to allow us to recruit someone to do mm-hmm. a lot of the technical work that is, you know, behind the scenes, but critical, you know, to make right. make our videos better, to include some graphics and some, you know, when we go through lists and stuff, mm-hmm. to have those up on the screen for, right. you know, people watching the video so mm-hmm. that you can follow along better and that it's right. more relevant to
make
you.
Make it better.
And, yeah.
Make it better.
Always trying to make it better.
Nike says just do it. We yeah. say make it better.
That's right.
Make it better.
Need t-shirts. Maybe that'll be something else that we do.
It's a goal. Resolution.
Make some t-shirts.
Make
so
goal.
All right. So that's it. So patreon.com
slash the
mental breakdown. Yeah.
End of the year.
It is. It's been a good year.
Boom.
All right. So we will see you in 2018.
That's the next time. This is it.
That's it.
It's the last time you're going to see us
in 2017. And you know what? We're going to have a podcast going out on January 1st, 2018.
Right. You're going to enjoy those.
We have a whole week planned.
A week is planned.
About mm-hmm. substance abuse.
Right.
We're going to start mm-hmm. out the year talking about substance abuse. Something that maybe some
because that's
did.
One of the resolutions that people
yeah.
want. One of the most common resolutions is to reduce those sorts of yeah. either a bad habit, smoking, drinking, yeah. drug, whatever it is. So we thought, well, let's continue this theme into 20. But we've been wanting to update. I wanted to say our thing. It's not really updating our thing. We want to pass along to you.
Mm-hmm.
The latest research
mm-hmm.
On the whole issue of addiction.
Right.
It's a field that's changing fairly rapidly.
Yeah.
They haven't made these kind of changes in many, many, well, actually decades.
Right.
And in the last 2 or 3 years, the whole field of substance abuse has experienced some significant change.
Right.
And so we want to bring you up to date on those changes. So
right.
stay tuned for next week's.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right, that is it for today, this week, and 2017.
2017, hard to believe.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.